Hey, hey.
Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got next. Got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next.
Greetings, greetings, and salutations. If you're hearing my voice, I am back. I am back with a brand new volume, man. It's been a while. I missed y'all, peoples. I missed y'all. But, of course, I'm coming back with some new material. This is E-Dub of the Who Got Next podcast, man. And I'm going to start it off a little bit different this time around. We're going to kind of carry on a conversation that you probably heard throughout bits and pieces of a lot of shows with people that I've talked to in Charlotte. Being I am an alum of a CIAA school, I decided to bring in two guys that are working directly into the CIAA, and we're just going to kind of talk about some things that they have on their mind. So they, you know, my homie Ben approached me about some, you know, say, yo, I've heard your podcast. I heard, you know, some people kind of talk about it, you know, but we want to just kind of talk about it in a different direction, what's going on in the inside. And I said, bet, let's have that conversation. So we have Ben Baxter up here, and then we also have his coworker Breon. What's going on, fellas?
What's going on?
How you doing?
All right. So just kind of get started. Ben, you are the assistant commissioner for strategic communications.
Yep.
That's correct.
Yep, you're correct.
And Breon, you are the associate commissioner for championships for brand management.
Correct.
All right. So the good thing about this is, of course, like you, every time when you all here, I love to talk to people who are residents of Charlotte. That's really what this show is about, talking about the movers and shakers and what they have going on. In this case, we actually do have a lot of times when I'm talking to, you know, people, I'm not originally from Charlotte, you know, but I have been a transplant here for 12 years, so I'm pretty much here. So within the 12 years, I've seen the changes. And I know these two guys are actually natives of Charlotte, North Carolina. So not only have I seen the changes, they've seen it all. they've seen it all from this, you know, a couple of buildings uptown to now. They can't stop building them. So we just want to talk about those things. So just talk about exactly what your job entails with the CIAA.
How much time we have?
Hey man, if you can condition it to the little bit of time we have, I'll be more than glad.
No, just kind of a quick rundown. So I'm on the communication side, so I handle everything from managing our website to, you know, overseeing our social media, the direction of our social media, you know, mm-hmm. working with the schools, you know, updating statistical information. Everything that you can think about on the communication side is kind of what I deal with. But a big part of it, obviously, is managing the website, you know, seeking stories about our schools and our players, just kind of highlighting the conference as a whole, mm-hmm. And, you know, doing like weekly honors and things like that. So I kind of do the gauntlet as far as, you know, communications. So that's kind of really my role. And, you know, I work really closely with Breon okay. on the championship side. And I kind of let him speak on kind of what he does. So,
yeah, man, what you do exactly, Breon?
Well, let me mention one thing that he left out that I think is very important. He is the gatekeeper to the media getting into that tournament.
Mm.
So if you have any requests,
oh,
trying
trust
to get
me,
in there,
oh, trust me, they're listening.
Yeah,
that's a lot of media is trying to get up in there.
That's the man you need to talk to.
I was hesitant to bring that up because I know that people start hitting me up, but yeah.
I don't want them to hit me up. So.
not trying to say flex your muscle, but if that's what you do, that's what you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so kind of break down what you do.
Well, my role with the CIAA is I am the primary contact. I'm the forefront of our 14 championships. From start to finish, from finding venues to branding venues. Making sure our folks got officials, making sure we, you know, our brackets are straight. Mm-hmm. All the signage is laid out to the T. You know, just making sure that people can steadily see the growth, you know, mm-hmm. of the CIAA with our championships. We came a long way.
I agree.
You know, I've been in this conference for about 15 years,
right.
You know, from an intern and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And I trust me, I've seen the growth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but working with, you know, organizing committees in different cities, you know, to try and help these institutions get money to host championships, because it ain't, you know, it ain't that cheap to host a CIAA championship, although, you know, most people just think of basketball and football, but, you know, our volleyball championship, you know, bowling, softball, those championships carry big budgets, believe it or not, you know, so it's, you know, it takes a little bit of money to kind of help host those things, but I get out there in the field with these institutions and I help get that done.
Okay. Yeah. So just to kind of talk about CIAA as a whole, you know, because a lot of people know what the CIAA is in Charlotte. But a lot of people don't know exactly what the term means. You know, they don't know what it stands for. They don't know the intricacies of the tournament. So annually they're grossing $50 million. They're grossing $50 million a year. Is that pretty much accurate?
Yeah, this past tournament we grossed over 40 million.
So anywhere between let's give a benchmark.
Yeah.
So anywhere between 30 to 50.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Annually, that's what has been done.
Absolutely.
And it started here in 2006, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen I know you've seen the statistics. How long have you been working in the CIAA?
So it's funny. So I started in February of this year.
This year.
And so that's why I thought it was important to have Breon on, because, like he said, he's been around for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And I've been around as a patron.
Right.
As, you know, I worked at another HBCU conference beforehand. So
correct.
We did some joint ventures together as well. So so I've been around and been connected. And obviously, I have ties to multiple CIAA schools.
Right.
But, yeah, so I'm sorry. I got off track about what we were talking about. But, yeah, we grossed about between $40 and $50 million.
All right. Okay. So basically, since 2006, you had Breon seen that money grow annually every year.
I have.
Right now it has been a consistency between 20 to 50 million, right?
Well, since we've been in Charlotte for these last, I would say, about 5 years, it's been consistently over 50. We dropped this year. I think, you know, a lot of that had to do with All-Star.
Correct.
But we took a little hit this year. But let me say the correct verbiage for that, because I think a lot of people do have that misconstrued too. The city grossed over $50 million, you know, because a lot of people.
That's where I was. I wanted you to lean to that.
a lot of people come to us thinking that, you know, that money is in our back pocket and, you know, we need to give more to our schools and we need to do this and do that. But no, that's not in the CIAA's pocket.
Correct. So just to give a little bit of, a nugget into that, they have a company here called the CRVA. And they have a lot, and they have a lot to do with that. I would love to get them on just to kind of have that conversation with them, because I see they have a lot to say at times, depending on who you're asking and when.
Yeah.
We're gonna leave it at that. they have a lot to say at times, but I think they can also bring a lot of insight into how they come to the decision making of what happens with the CIAA, and that's what I want to talk about. So.
Yeah.
And let's just be candid here. So let's just be candid here. You know, I have personally seen a drop in the CIAA when it comes to things. But I'm also a guy, now that I've been out of school since 2000. I graduated in 2003. I'm from Federal State. So I've been to the CIAA when it was in Winston. Mm-hmm. I've been to the CIAA when it was in Raleigh. It was in Raleigh when I was in school.
Yep.
And then it came to Charlotte 2006 when Uptown really started to grow, and Charlotte was saying, okay, we have a chance to really make some good ass money here outside of NBA ventures and a couple of concerts here. Now I think Charlotte is finally seeing their potential and what they can bring to the city.
Let's come back. That
we are.
You just made right there. We're going to hit that.
Yeah, I think they see the potential here. The problem with that is I don't feel that the city at times reach out to the ones that they need to reach out to make that really happen in certain instances.
Mm-hmm.
CIAA is one of them. And I think they got comfortable. This is just me talking. I think the city got comfortable. I think the city realized, okay, well, shit. We know we got a CIAA coming every February. We know we could jack up these prices. We know we could do this here and do that there. So who cares? They're not going anywhere. Aha! Now y'all are. now y'all moving to Baltimore, and I'm gonna let y'all get y'all spin off. But it's just something that I've thought about. I'm not mad at the change. personally. I'm not mad at a change because sometimes you have to lose what you had to realize what you.
It's like that relationship.
Yeah, what you need, and you realize that okay, I fucked up. Yeah. So the question is, how do we get it back? You know, how do we get it back? You know, he's going to Baltimore for 3 years. Again, I'm not mad at the change because I think change is important. I was one of the guys that felt that sometimes when you stay in one place too long, you get comfortable because it's easy money to them. But I felt at times the CIAA struggled, you know, and they struggled when it came to getting people to get to the games. If my school was in it, I was at them games. I went to at least three games a year. But as long as we keep winning, I'm going to be there. But everybody don't think that way. You know, I'm not – the parties is cool and all the other stuff, but that has nothing really to do with the CIAA. So I kind of was long-winded on that, but it was just something I had to get off. But I know y'all have so much to say about it because I'm looking at y'all faces. So what do you all think about this whole ordeal?
Okay, well, let me start this on.
I'll let you start off. I know
y'all. I know y'all of these. Y'all within them walls, so I know y'all hearing things and y'all know some stuff. So let us know what you can give us.
So I'll start off by saying, I think Charlotte did get kind of comfortable. I think the hotels got comfortable. You know, but that starts with a little bit of contractual structure with the hotels. There's a lot of stuff that kind of didn't get done in the years prior that tried to get done when we got new commissioner, and some of the hotels just wasn't really going forward. That's why you see these steady rate, you know, those, you saw those steady rate increases and things like that. And you would think that at the threat of losing a tournament, you know, they would be like, you know what, well, let's get together and lower some of these prices and try to, you know, make sure this event stays here. But like you said, I think over these years with the, you know, with Charlotte getting the All-Star, them getting the DNC, now they got the Republican Convention, I believe, coming here, and they got all these trade shows and stuff. We were their guinea pig. Mm-hmm. Now that they've had a successful run with an elite event like the CIAA, which is the, you know, third largest conference tournament in the country,
which a lot of people do not know.
Yeah, you know, we're behind the, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong, but I believe we're behind the Big Ten and the ACC.
ACC.
Yeah,
I believe you are correct.
So
I know that's what it was in the past.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So
and for the record, we had a larger economic impact than the ACC this past year in the same city. So that's just food for thought. But go ahead, Brian. I'm sorry.
Good point.
Talk your shit.
Go ahead. Good point. So you know, I think they got comfortable. You know, in these hotels. So, you know, they used us. Everybody saw that they can do it. They can put on extraordinary events. And that's why I think, I'll just be honest, you know, I mean, Smudgy Mitchell said it on TV anyway. But I'll be honest, that's why they bid wasn't that strong. Because I think Charlotte bid it because they had to, not because they wanted to. You know what I'm saying? And the tournament's gone. Because I believe I think that Charlotte's thinking is like, we don't need the CIAA no more. You know, because they can get other events now. You know, and after you've ran the CIAA tournament, hosted the CIAA tournament for all these years, I trust you with my event. You know, if I had a Super Bowl coming here and y'all had the infrastructure for it, I trust it here. You know, so.
And being that the city did go into within this process, we had three mayors and a pro temp, if I'm correct.
Something like that, yeah.
So we've had Anthony Fox when he, no, we had, no. Was it on McCrory? When was it?
Yeah.
So we had McCrory, whatever. Then we had Anthony Fox. Then of course they had a pro temp between that time frame. Then you had the other guy. I'm not gonna mention his name. You had him, and then you know that you had Mayor Roberts, and then now Mayor Vallows.
Yeah.
So they've all seen it. You know, they've all championed it, you know, to an extent. But now I'm not putting this on the new mayor, you know, because this is not her. Maybe it is. I don't know. But what I will say in regards to that, I think at the time when she came in, the CIAA was trying to figure out, okay, are we staying or are we going? Mm-hmm. So I don't think she had enough skin in the game. Like, can I put that out there as far as not knowing all the information needed to know?
What you're saying. Yep.
So we'll just leave it at that. You know, but like I said, once Baltimore got it, I saw these conversations between certain officials, like, well, you know, it just didn't happen. So you seen a couple of people like, nah, man, y'all gonna miss this. But the main ones are like, man, we good. And you kind of, mm-hmm. I think you kind of alluded to that, saying, well, we just put in the bid because we had to. And I just mm-hmm. think that bid was just a trash ass bid.
Yeah,
to my opinion.
Because I'm gonna say, you wasn't here then. No, so I, you know, surprisingly, I'm a little privy to that information. You know, I was in the walls of those meetings, man, and mm-hmm. you know, that's just the way I stated. You know, they had to. You know, they didn't really want to. I mean, I'm not gonna say the individual, but I put it like this: somebody in that meeting said that our relationship is like. What did they say? It was like we don't date anymore. We don't court. It was like we get in the room, shut the door, and just get in bed and get down to business. That was exactly what someone said in that meeting. Basically, like, we don't have to wine and dine y'all no more. You know, we just gonna get straight down to business. And so Baltimore was like that new person on the block that came through all suave,
right?
You know, and did what they had to do to
get
their attention.
They saw the value.
Yeah, they stole. You know, and. Big ups to them. I mean, they put together a real good package and, you know, a real good bid. And I mean, we could see ourselves coming back here, but if we do, you know, there's a lot of things that got to change. You know, mainly with the hotel situation.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
one of the
biggest problems that we have. I mean, that's what's driving fans, in my opinion. You know, kind of away, because I mean, and I'll be honest with you. Our attendance has actually been okay. You know, so our attendance has actually been fine. A lot of people say that, I know that CIAA dropped off this year, might have dropped off this year. I think that's a lot of the folks that's outside the arena.
And like, it's the optics, too. Because, you know, like, yeah. when you're in there and people are taking social media pictures and things like mm-hmm. that, they see the stands and things like that. So it, to what it looked like, doesn't match up to.
You have some of your games that's heavier than others. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But
I think that's what any. That's with any tournament, though, because exactly. I did go to the ACC tournament. I was privy to go to three games, mm-hmm. so I was privy to go to the first game. You know, the first day, mm-hmm. it was kind of from an ACC standpoint. Mm-hmm. It was kind of empty, mm-hmm. you know. But of course, after that, I ended up going to the game, Carolina Duke. And I'm a big Duke fan. I don't know about y'all, because I'm a big Duke fan.
Go here,
so I was fortunate enough to go to that game, and I was fortunate enough to go to the championship. So
yeah.
we've seen how it goes that, you know, at any tournament, as teams start to fall off, you know, those people ain't trying to go. They ain't really trying to go to those games, so they're giving away their tickets or however they want to do it.
Yeah.
And because you're down to two teams. That's what happened with the CIAA. The weekend is when people really start coming.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I mean, the arena looks good on a Thursday, Friday, mm-hmm. Saturday, man. You know, and I think people would really be surprised. But, you know, the CIAA, we don't get away scot-free, you know, going to Baltimore. We still have to
prove yourself.
Yeah, we still have to be we gotta hit the ground running when we get to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I tell my supervisor this all the time, we don't hit that city with a bang this first year, we might as well cancel the next two. If we don't show that city what the CIAA is mm-hmm. on year one, it's gonna be a long 3 years for us up there in that city.
And my thing is, I think, and the reason why I said I'm not mad at the change, I mean, I know there's always this misconception of Baltimore, and I mean, a lot of it is true.
some headlines.
Yeah, a lot of it is true, but I think one thing that Baltimore is doing that a lot of people really do not talk about is they are trying to clean up their image, mm-hmm. which is why they stepped into the forefront of trying to get this tournament. Mm-hmm. And it makes perfect sense, because that we do have a few schools up there, and it really gives them an opportunity to go to their games, to the ones who are not able to come down to Charlotte. Yeah. Even though North Carolina has majority of the CIAA schools, I just think you can't forget about them. Secondly, just how the city is being looked at now, that's also a good thing for the CIAA. You know, it's historically black, you know, colleges with a historically black city. Mm-hmm. So why not take that head on? And I'm always a fan of, let's see. You don't never know how anything is going to work mm-hmm. until you try it out. But of course, you know, you hear these, I ain't going to Baltimore. I ain't driving up there. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I mean, that's cool. But guess what? You still have an influx of people in that area. that didn't have the opportunity is going to have the opportunity.
And if I'm not mistaken, this you know, being on one of your sides, I think you can vouch for that. Don't, like, the majority of our fans are in that Norfolk, Richmond area. You know, that come down to this, that comes down to this tournament. That's mm-hmm. that's a market that travels. So
exactly.
Now that we're going, you know, north, you know, we're going to tap into those folks. Yeah, that's up there in Philly. Mm-hmm. That's alumni of Lincoln, Bowie,
DC.
I mean, Winston, anywhere.
DC, Norfolk, all of them.
Yeah, they can now travel to the tournament. You know, because we have a huge, you know, a lot of our schools have huge alumni bases, definitely up in the Philly area and the DC mm-hmm. area. So it's going to be I think we will still get a lot of our grassroots fans that's going to come, but we're going to tap into a new market, man. That I believe, you know, is full of potential.
Okay. Well. So answer me this. Let's talk about a couple of rumors that I heard. So, before the CIAA had decided to go to Baltimore, was there any rumor that DC and Atlanta was in the mix?
No, you know, from what I understand, you know, like again, I'm from the city. I heard that the Atlanta rumor started on the radio somewhere. That's what I heard.
I don't think it was. I don't know. I don't know why people picked Atlanta. I heard Atlanta.
Because a lot of people think that Clark is in the CIAA for some reason.
I don't know.
I run into a lot of people that think that. You know, so they're like, why won't y'all go down there?
But see,
you know?
the ones that are saying that clearly has never been in any part of the.
People hear HBCU make connection in CIAA and just think.
I don't know. I guess they saw a drumline and just think everybody just.
Yeah, it's weird.
They think
it's
all
weird,
the HBCUs is one conference.
Yeah, exactly. One conference in one area. So, right. You know, I heard Atlanta. DC, okay, I can understand.
DC had an interest. When our past commissioner was here, they had an interest.
Because she actually was in the Hampton area at that time.
No, I'm talking about now before Jackie.
Okay.
When we had Leon Carey. They had an interest then. And I believe that was right before we signed that long-term deal with Charlotte.
The second time around.
Yeah, but okay. They had an interest then. But, they didn't. They didn't.
Okay, I know that was some of the rumors. Yeah, Atlanta, D.C., hell, they even brought up Miami, and I'm like, bro, where y'all are really missing a point, of all this. So how do you see things being that you all from Charlotte originally, and seeing how the conference has grown? So what is your actual take on it?
So for me personally, and I know Breon can definitely talk about some of the ins and outs, but being kind of the newbie on the block, you know what I'm saying, as far as being in the office, when I first heard the news about. You know, CIAA going to Baltimore, I was just kind of like, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So for me, it was just like, oh, man, here we go again. Like, the city, you know, because I'm, you know, if you know anybody from Charlotte, you know that we're very proudful. We're very, mm-hmm. you know, we take pride in our city. So, you know, to hear them leaving, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, you know, here we go. It's the Hornets all over again. You know,
right, right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, we losing another gym, you know. So, mm-hmm. But once I started and kind of saw the ins and outs and just kind of understood, you know, the business side of it more,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was a no-brainer. Like, you couldn't, from a business standpoint, you couldn't be loyal to a situation just based off the history.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you know, like, Breon said it best. You know, it's like that relationship. You know, you start out, you're courting, you're doing all the things to impress your lady,
mm-hmm.
or your guy, and then, you know, as time grows on, you don't, some of those things kind of fall off.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta approach it with a fresh mind. And I think Baltimore was kind of, that was the thing that Baltimore did. They approached it with a fresh mind and did what they needed to do to mm-hmm. to. Draw the event. Now, from a Charlotte standpoint, for me, like I said, it's bittersweet, you know, from being a native and being from Charlotte. You know, I want to see the city thrive. I want to see people mm-hmm. win. I want to see, you know, the city do great things, you know.
Correct.
Because we saw it from when it was just a banking town and we had one or two buildings downtown. So we've mm-hmm. seen the growth. So
right.
To take away something that's had such a large economic impact and, mm-hmm. and brings, you know, the African-American minority communities into the city
mm-hmm.
just to see the great things that are going on in the community,
right.
You know, is, you know, somewhat hurtful, but from a business standpoint, you have to grow and, mm-hmm. and, you know, do the things that you need to do to see this, you know, the conference win, you know, for lack of better terms. But, yeah, I mean, it, you know, it definitely hurts me as a native to see the tournament go away. But being in the, in those walls and understand the grind. That's one of the things I don't think people really realize, kind of the grind that goes into putting on this tournament or putting on our championships in general. Like, we work hard, you know what I'm saying? So I think people just feel like the schools come and play a basketball game and just come shoot hoops and then everybody goes home and they sing Kumbaya. They don't understand the grind to stand up to 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning to be right back up at 8 or 9 for, you know, set up for a tournament. The transition from going from Bojangles Coliseum to into Spectrum, you know, different things like that behind the scenes that you don't really understand the grind that we go through. You know, this man and the rest of our staff as well, you know, we work really hard to try to and I'm speaking from somebody who started 2 weeks before the tournament this past year. So I walked into the fire like,
man, I saw you running walking in your suit, man. I saw that being right there.
I walked into the fire and I was just like,
yeah, seeing everything.
Oh my God, what's going on? And like the amount of meetings that goes into it, you know, all the people behind the scenes that do things, the fan fest, you know, you know, our partners Van Wagner and those guys do a lot to try to make the experience what it is. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta, you know, it's just when people take for granted the effort that goes into it, I mean, it's only naturally that you're frustrated and you don't understand what, you know, you just don't understand, you know. So it's interesting, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, I have a different perspective than probably Breon, just because, you know, like I said, I was on the fan side and I was working, you know, in a different area. But then to walk into it and understand, you know, the business standpoint, it was definitely – it's definitely interesting. It's definitely a unique situation. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody understands.
Right. So let me ask you this, and see if you give me an honest answer on this.
Yeah.
Do you feel the community did the CIAA a disservice? It's kind of a loaded question. I'll be honest with you. It's a loaded.
That's why I'm gonna let Ben answer.
It's a loaded question. Yeah. But I want to get you. Y'all are two natives, so I want to get your answer.
The business community, break it down. Business community and residential.
Right, yeah.
Break it down.
Yeah,
break it down.
Which community? Like, I mean.
Let's start with the residential community. let's start with them first.
I think, you know, our fans in Charlotte, I believe they do their part. I mean, that's coming from a, you know, again, an employee side. I mean, they show up at FanFest. You know, that's a big part of the CIAA, making sure those sponsors engage. They're happy with those numbers. You know, they show up. I mean, because, you know, honestly, I mean, some of your average families can't afford a CIAA weekend. You know, they can't afford, although it is, you know, 22, 23, 24, some odd game. Now we got the other schools in, you know, odd games in the tournament, and you can get that for, you know, $100-something a ticket. Some people can't afford that. So FanFest is their weekend because it's free to the public. But there are a lot of folks that was, you know, that spoke out when this tournament was leaving, you know, Charlotte residents, you know, and it was surprising to me, you know, when I saw it. You know, a lot of them felt a certain way when we went to Bojangles. You know, they felt like the city was trying to push us out.
Right.
You know, but
of course, there's a business side to that, too.
It was a contractual part to that. It was a little bit more having to do with us kind of catering to the All-Star, and it just, you know, and it just kind of went into the deal. But, you know, something that they don't know, you know, which I don't think is anything I got to hide, is that, you know, as you can see that we, you know, we're starting to be in that arena less and less, you know. So if we would have stayed in Charlotte, we would have only been in the Spectrum on Friday and Saturday.
Right.
And that's, so it's like, look at how we're getting taken away. And I understand, you know, from the Hornets, it's a business sense, you know what I'm saying? That, you know, but
it costs a lot of money just to keep those doors open.
You know, but my thing is, you know, we were told certain things, and I think I would have respected it more if they would have been like, look, this is our building, we're trying to make money. You know, we'll make more money with the Rockets in here and with Golden State in here earlier that week, you know, than we would having a CIAA tournament here. I would understand it if you put it that way, you know, but it was put to us in a different way, and I ain't respect it, you know. And then on top of that, the business community, I mean, you got the Hornets, we got competition right across town. We playing at Bojangles, but then y'all got KD in town. I want to leave and go see KD. I don't even want to be at work that night. You know, what I'm saying? So, and Steph, so, you know, the business community, you know, depending on who you're talking about, I feel like they, you know, some of them let us down, you know, a bit. But at the same time, I don't know how I, you know, I don't understand some of those politics, and I'm not privy to some of that information, but I don't actually know how much, you know, the CRVA can strong arm the Hornets and say, y'all gonna let them in this building. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, you really,
you know what I mean? So
not without talking to,
you know, and
the powers that be.
Exactly. And if when it comes, I mean, to think about it, my paper or their paper, we got another arena in this town. So at the end of the day, I ain't tripping if y'all don't come here. You know, and I think that's what it looks like. You know, like, well, hey, if it ain't the end of the world if they don't play here. They can play right down the street.
Because if they don't do it there, crazy. Because if you do, let's say it was just held at Bojangles, period, all the time. Yeah. You know, of course, the Hornets gonna be like, all right, well, they're not in here no more.
We're gonna utilize our arena.
Time frame. They're not gonna still make their trip because it became consistent that okay, we know the Hornets is not going to be in town.
Yeah. Different management, man.
This week.
They used to be on a West Coast road trip the whole week we was in town, right, man, when we first got here.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? But that's just with anything. If you're looking at the Grammys or you're looking at Rodeo Week, that's just how they're built. It's just not for that in particular. You know, as an owner, as a management, I'm going to utilize my building if I can. So that was a solid to the CIAA, but like you said, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. Yeah. But it's also about how you present that information. So I can see the respect factor.
Yeah, you know, so we would have took it a lot different, man. But I think, you know, and there's a lot of local businessmen that reach out to us at the office, you know, that want to try to partner with us some kind of way, you know, during the tournament week. And I'll be honest with you, and all of it ain't selfish. You know, you think sometimes people just be calling to try to get their business out there. They want to make money off the CIAA because, I mean, at the end of the day, who don't? You know? But you know, the first thing commission is going to ask is like, how is it going to benefit us? So when somebody calls that office, a part of your pitch better be what you're going to do for the CIAA, whether it's giving money back to us, you know, for the scholarship foundation, or, you know, whether, you know, you're going to offer tickets to our partners and this is that and the third. Like, you better have a strategic plan, you know, on how your event is going to thrive, but also how the CIAA is going to thrive, you know, backing your event. You know, why are we gonna put you on our official list of events? You know, or why are we gonna market you to our, you know, to our network and things like that? So, you know, I think the community, man, they show us some support. You know, but you just got some of your other ones, man. When it comes to that money, they gonna be for self and not for the CIAA.
Another question I have for you: How difficult is it for the CIAA to differentiate themselves from the promoters? From the promoters that are doing their individual events outside of the CIAA.
I mean, I think it's important, not to jump in front of you, Brian, but I think it's important that people realize that. So a lot of times people hear the word CIAA and instantly think parties, you know, and people don't understand that.
And it grew to that.
It's a whole tournament going on. It's actually basketball being played, and quality basketball a lot of times. Like, we had a kid that just, you know, just got signed by the Knicks not too long ago.
From Shaw University.
From Shaw, yeah, Amir Hinton. So we have some quality players in the conference. So it's, you know, I think that's the big misconception. And people also, obviously when you hear CIAA, you think just the basketball tournament. But it's more than that. Like he said, we have 14 championships. So, but to kind of just touch on what you were saying, it's tough. It's tough because the party scene is such a big part of what makes the CIAA weekend or week the CIAA in a lot of people's minds. So, you know, we definitely try to, you know, work partnerships, and Breon can probably attest and speak a little bit better to it. But we try to partner with, you know, promoters and folks, you know, internally to try to make things happen, make events happen, make that partnership as strong as possible. But not everybody always wants to play by the rules, you know. It's a money grab for a lot of people, so they don't approach it in the all business ain't good business. I'll just put it that way.
And we've started to get a handle on that over the past few years. If you've noticed, like, you don't have folks throwing. It's not a lot of hotel parties no more. You know, that's, you know, we put our foot down on that. You know, because at the end of the day, we the goal has been to separate that though. Like, you know, if you go into a party, it's gonna be. It ain't gonna be in your average establishment anymore, you know. Like, especially in the uptown area.
Correct.
You know, you're gonna be out in a tent, freezing, you know, a little bit, or you're gonna be in some other venue, you know, that's a little on the outskirts. So, I mean, we've done a decent job. Our lawyer will get to you quick if you got that logo or something on there that you know you got some infringement going on your flyers, on your advertisement. They'll get there, but at the same time, like I say in meetings, let's not act like we don't need that scene. That party scene, you know, even though those folks come in, they may not step foot in that arena, it's okay. But we still need them to make up some of that economic impact. So as we look to go to another city, let's not try to, you know, I keep telling my folks, like, let's not try to shut these promoters all the way out.
Yeah.
You know, we might can make it a little tougher for them, you know, to get a venue and, you know, make sure they about business and the city ain't going to get shot up, you know, and things like that. I get it. But let's not shut them out. Because again, like you say, I mean, you know, they coming in town, they getting car washes and haircuts and outfits, and they add into this economic impact. You know, they getting all these rooms and stuff like that, man. So, and buying all this liquor and everything else that goes to those numbers. So, you know, we can separate ourselves, you know, to make sure that you, when you hear, you know, and I hate to say it, you know, but you hear Too Dead during CIAA weekend, you know. We're separating ourselves the way you know that didn't have anything to do with what's going on in that
right
arena.
But of course
it's unfortunate, but you
the
know,
reporters are going to say not, oh well, which I hate, but that's how they spin it, you know. Yeah. But it takes a real smart person to say that had nothing to do with the
and
CIA.
matter of fact I actually got interviewed right after the tournament. I was at another little spot, and apparently you remember it was something happened at Onyx last year.
I do.
It was but the guy, if I'm not mistaken, the individual may have gotten shot somewhere else, and they were trying to get him to a hospital. If I'm not mistaken, this might not be a story, but they were trying to get him to a hospital, and they ended up over there by Onyx somewhere, and that's as far as they could go. So then they called the ambulance and stuff, so it came,
mm-hmm.
and you know, of course, everybody was looking like
what's going on,
but nothing happening. So what's going on? So the next day, the reporters came out, and I just happened to be in the area, and I didn't tell them who I was, of course. Yeah, of course. You know, and that was the first thing I was saying. Though,
like
you
me
know,
when I see a camera uptown, I put that badge right in my pocket.
Yeah, you know, yeah, and they was asking me the questions, and I made sure for them to say, you know that like that didn't have anything to do with CIAA, you know, and if this was last week during All-Star. Y'all, it definitely wouldn't leave with that kind of headline. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, that was an isolated incident. You know, it was unfortunate. I was like, and it didn't even happen over here by Onyx. It wasn't even an Onyx incident.
Yeah,
so don't drag them in the mud either. You know, so they be quick to try to, you know, associate it. Yeah, man, and make us look like the bad guy.
That's important. Like from my side, you talked about the reporting about, you know, two shot this CIAA. That's kind of mm-hmm. that kind of falls mm-hmm. in my wheelhouse, and so I think an important part that we, you know, we try to do, and we work with the city of Charlotte and you know CRVA to try to jump ahead of those stories when possible. And I know for a fact, like the All-Star weekend, they had like a machine going, making sure that any negative press as far as All-Star, it didn't get out.
Right.
You know, so you know, bad things happen when you have a ton of people
in
the area. So you know. You have to put measures in place to try to, you know, protect your brand. So, mm-hmm. And that's you know, that's important. And it'll be important when we go to Baltimore, too. You know, mm-hmm. things will happen, and they'll try to associate it with your event. But you have to work with the, you know, the powers that be, you know, the communications folks, the marketing folks, you know, within the city, and try to, you know, hey, we need to get ahead mm-hmm. of this before, you know, things get out of hand.
So. And I put it like this. You ain't never heard no headline saying, you know, anything happening in that arena during the week.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what's affiliated with the CIA. You ain't never heard of nothing going on in the convention center mm-hmm. during that week. You know, that's what's affiliated with the CIAA. You know, and we keep our stuff, you know, under full surveillance and under, you mm-hmm. know, and under wraps. So, you know, but at the end of the day, we had nothing to do with Dolph getting shot at 100 times. You know,
yeah,
we had nothing to do with that. You know, they could have shouted us out on their own and been like, you know, thanks for a good weekend, CIAA, but, you know, something like that.
Right.
But, you know, because without our event, ain't none of them making no money.
Right.
It's you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you'll see a few of them come through the arena. You know, they sit courtside and, you know, have a good little time or whatever, and then they skate out. But and that's love. But you know, and if somebody – and that's another thing with the promoter side. Like, if some of them want to work with us, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, get us in that rider. You know, like – Have your, you know, reach out to us and have your artists come through, you know, come through the arena and sit for a couple of quarters and, you know, and or whatever the case may be, and then let them go do your party or something like that. Like, figure out a way it can benefit us instead of just benefiting yourself. Like, we ain't asking for to break the bank, but, you know, when they hear that, you know, you got Rihanna in town, you know what I'm saying, and she going to be at your spot, why you ain't going to Why wouldn't you try to contact us and say, hey, y'all need an anthem singer for one night? Let's see if we can work that out. Right. You know what I'm saying? Let's see how much more to be and see if y'all can foot that bill for, you know, for what they're going to add on for the anthem.
There's more than enough press in the arena during the week for the artists to be able to get some shine if they stop through. So true. I just think it's being strategic and, you know, also working to kind of control the narrative. I think a lot of times, you know, the media that actually attend the game, they do a good job of telling the story and kind of putting us in the best light possible. A lot of times it's outside folks that don't attend the game, that correct. Don't go to the fan fest, that don't want to, you know, shine a bad light on the tournament and the things that go on. But, yeah, like Breon said, it's nothing to, you know, put us in the rider and have them come to do a walkthrough. We'll make accommodations. You know, it's not hard to get in contact with, you know, mm-hmm. so just – being strategic about your partnerships and just don't be all about the money grab. And it's interesting because a lot of the promoters are HBCU alums. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They went to CIAA schools.
Went somewhere.
You know what I'm saying? So you would think that you want to see your schools do great. You know, and that's not to say that some of them don't.
I agree
you know,
exactly.
You know, being strategic. Like, I'm all about seeing people win. I know you always talk about it on your podcast. You know, you enjoy seeing people win. It's not all about, when you do this podcast, you know, you do it for the love and just, you know, having a story to tell. So, mm-hmm. you know, everybody can win. You know, it's enough out there for everybody to win. So
I agree.
Being strategic about it and not trying to, you know, be selfish about it, I think is important. So,
I agree, man. So, man, we're going to have this conversation again. I think when it kind of get close. Yeah. When it get close, I would love to bring you guys on again when it get close to CIAA coming around, just kind of talk about some things. But we'll talk about that fine.
Yeah, we can definitely have a follow up.
Yeah, definitely do that. But you know, because of course
we can go live from the CIAA office. Next
yeah,
time.
We can. we can
hey, that office now we're talking. Now we're talking. So, as always, Ed, Breon, you know, this is your first time kind of hearing about the show. But basically, what I like to do is when I'm wrapping up every show, I ask one question, and it's pretty much the premise of my podcast. So what's next? What's next for the CIAA moving forward?
I think it's next for the CIAA is to continue our motto, tradition, leadership, community. I think we surprised some folks, you know, and opened some eyes in Baltimore. You know, I think I keep my other championships running. You know, I think we gain more exposure to our football championship, which is held in Salem, Virginia, on November 16th. If you want to come out and just support, you know, we tailgate well and Fan Fest that's going to be hosted by Fly Tie and Jacinda this year. I think the sky's the limit for the CIAA. I think we're going to shock everybody with how we roll out in Baltimore. And I think you won't. Don't be surprised to see us back here in the city. You know, after a little time away. But first up is Baltimore, and I think we're gonna shock some folks.
Yeah, I just say stay tuned, man. I think we got a lot of different things working to try to enhance the brand more so than it already is. Mm-hmm. You know, just from a communications and strategic partnership standpoint. Just keep your eyes open. You know, we're gonna do some great things. Everything we're consistently growing. We're definitely not taking step backs, regardless of what people say. I think all areas of the conference and schools, it's growth. Mm-hmm. It's growth. It's really what it is. Like people see a lot of the headlines about HBCUs and the money struggles, but from our standpoint and the things that we can control, it's growth. We're trying to increase exposure for the conference as a whole, our schools, our athletes, highlighting the championships that we do. We do a lot of different stuff, a lot of different things. And Breon and I work extremely close, trying to, you know, coordinate things from a communication standpoint and from a brand management standpoint. So just, you know, keep your eyes open. You know, just two cats from Charlotte, you know, trying to make things happen. So,
well, Ben, Breon, man, I do appreciate you all sitting down with me for my first installment of Volume 5, man. I think it's a great way to start off things, man, kind of talk about CIAA and things. So I will be bringing you guys on again, trust me. Yeah. And I know we'll talk about some things, so, man, but I do appreciate both of you all coming on. Let everybody know where they can find you at if you care to give out your professional information or your personal information. That's totally up to you. However you want to be seen or heard, let them know.
Yeah, I wish I had a little shameless plug, but I'm social media-less. But if you ever need
that's a good thing though. But go ahead.
But I do have a LinkedIn page. You know, if you ever need to find your boy and you know ask some questions, need some internships, need some suggestions, or you know you got some opportunities for us. I can be found on LinkedIn under my name, or you can just find me at the CIAA office.
I like that approach, Brian. I don't think I'm gonna take the same approach. I definitely have something.
But you communication. Yeah,
I am. You know what?
Hey, give me a beeper number
exactly,
and your cell phone,
you know
bro.
What I'm saying? My little flip phone or whatever. So I'll just say, you know, definitely, we both can be found at CIAA.com. You can visit our website. We're on social media, IG at CIAA Sports. We're on CIAA for Life on Twitter. You know, just follow us. You know, and just kind of just I say that just because. You can follow us and find out some of the other different things that we do outside of just the basketball tournament. It's, yeah, you know, we have a lot going on, so it's not really about me. I know we on this podcast talking, so it's not really about me.
I get it, but you know, they need to find you.
Yeah,
so.
they'll find me. The folks that need to know how to find me know
they'll how to find you. All
right, but go to CIAA.com. You can find my information on there. Shoot me an email.
No doubt.
You know, I'll leave it there.
No doubt, man. But again, I do appreciate both of you all coming on.
Hey, thanks for having us, man.
And for the people listening, make sure you stay tuned for Volume 5. This is the first installment of Volume 5, talking to these brothers. And if you want to find me, you can find me on my Instagram. My Instagram is whogotnext_CLT. And if you want me to holler at you, if you know somebody, you know, that you think I should be able to reach out to, just let me know. But like I tell everybody on every show, if you're doing something, I'm going to find you. I'm always keeping my ear to the streets, man. But if you do, you want to bring suggestions to me, do that. My email is whogotnextclt@gmail.com. Again, this is E-Dub, and I'm out for Who Got Next. Peace.